So I will call this meeting to order and welcome you all here tonight. I hope you weren't too inconvenienced by the change from last week to this week, but Mark is nodding his head, but he should have been one of the happiest that we chose not to drive last Thursday night. There were some areas where I lived was one, and where Catherine lives was another, where it was not safe to be on the road. So I know in this area it looked pretty uneventful, but that's not what we thought would happen.
No, I appreciated it.
I will recognize again that we meet on unceded Willistiquaid territory. I was at a workshop the last couple of days, and something I was doing just on my own, but something was mentioned that I thought might be something you could carry with you, and that is that there is a concept in the Mi'kmaq culture that children are the eyes of the future. So someone said that, and I wrote it down, and I thought that's a good one for us to carry with us. There's lots for us to learn from our indigenous cultures. You have a copy of the agenda. Are there any changes? Seeing no changes to the agenda, I would say they are agreed by consent. And the minutes.
I just had a quick question getting back to the agenda. For the school success stories.
Oh, I forgot. That was another thing I was supposed to talk about.
Do we have them? I know it's not on the portal.
We do have them, yes.
Okay.
They may have been on last week's, and I didn't put them forward.
Right.
But those are ready, and I'll put them up on the portal.
Okay. Does everybody have access to those, to the portal now, that they can see which ones they will have? And I ask, while I think of it, just for you to stay just a couple of minutes at the end of our meeting tonight, just have one question for you that I want to ask you after the meeting is over. So my memory's starting to click in.
So, Madam Chair, just as far as the minutes?
Yes.
Just two things, if everyone consents. Just the motion at the top of page 2 of 5. There's three people mentioned as seconder, so we have to reduce that to one.
Right, that should have been just Faith Kennedy.
Okay, and then down on page 3, under business arising from the minutes, there's a couple of motions presented. This one just before new business says, I would make a motion that we table the discussion around King's Clear Consolidated School and bring it back to the table in October 2018. We should change that last one to say to bring it back to the meeting instead of table in October 2018.
Is there anyone opposed to that change? Any other? Yes.
Obviously, either I dropped my speaking when poor Carol was trying to keep track, but therefore we need to have, and so I emailed Carol, maybe you weren't copied in on that.
Yes,
the
I
one
was.
I sent
yes.
to Catherine.
Yes.
I tried to get the gist of what I had said. I couldn't obviously remember my exact words,
okay.
but it was about getting the best bang for the buck for and the other. I put wording in there, so.
And it's you emailed it to me.
Maybe you weren't in on that email. You may not have been, so I will. Did you see the email that I forwarded some questions to Catherine?
Yes, I did.
Okay, it's at the bottom of that one. Yeah, I think it says Carol.
And I still have it.
Okay.
Yes.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Okay. So that would just be an amendment, or not an amendment.
And where's that being added?
On my mini novel that I said on page 2.
Counselor Hogan acknowledged,
yes,
and
yes.
It continues up.
And if you look at the very end of it, the sentence
therefore
is not,
we need to have.
Yes, and I don't know what it said in the email, but.
Could you, do you have
that? I do
have that. Could you read
that?
You have that right there. I
sure.
Could look it up. But.
No. I do remember saying that having the information in either the PLWEP or the DIP DIP would give the best bang for the buck.
I remember that.
Yeah.
So add that at the end, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it's an unfinished sentence, so I'm,
yeah.
I know I
you remember saying
went on mm-hmm. along.
You don't want to go down in history as unfinished sentences.
And it has happened, so.
No.
Are there any objections to that? Does everybody understand what we'd be adding there? Okay, any other changes to the minutes? Seeing none and no objections to those changes, then I would declare the minutes approved by consent. And under our correspondence, I believe I forwarded, did I forward to you a copy of the
yes,
letter?
You did.
Yes. Okay. That I wrote to the Minister of Education and Early Childhood Development as per the motion requesting that we do that. Is that on the portal?
It's on the portal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, any questions or comments about that? I have not received a response. I didn't expect one right away. I know that the minister and the deputy minister were aware that we were asking for that policy. So. Do you have any other correspondence?
No.
New business. Do you have your school success stories?
It's on the portal.
They are up.
So I don't have them in front of me, so I'm going to expect
no,
you
okay.
to...
They're not on this one right there. They're on
you may have to go back out. It's on the 29th. You should have it in your folder.
Okay. Do we have...
there it is now. It's now there.
Can I remind Madam Chair? I'm ready.
Not until I'm ready, to Madam Mr.
Can you see?
Mark. Okay. No, you can't because the first one is Heartland.
Okay. I'm just ready, that's all.
And that is just before we start, Jane isn't here and Alan isn't here and Sean isn't here. So when we come to one that you see that you recognize as being one of theirs, would you please just somebody do it? Okay. Who's Heartland?
Me.
Okay.
Essential Skills Achievement Pathway Initiative prepares students for entry into trades-based college program of their choice with a focus on 9 essential skills necessary for carrying out tasks in work, learning, and life. Grade 2 teachers have worked to improve student reading and writing through the balanced literacy component of word study. Formative assessment data demonstrated that spelling and decoding were areas of challenge. So the goal was to have students learn word work pertinent to their needs, then gain quick recall and application of those word patterns. Next.
Are you Minduxnikig?
Yes,
well?
I am.
Can you spell that word?
Yes, I can. I've written it many times. Minduxnikig received an enhancement grant to purchase the Secret Path book for grade 8 students and trained staff. Introduce the book and the music of Gord Downie in order to teach students about the impact of residential schools on First Nations people. The weekend backpack program, this is really neat, started this year. Partnerships with local businesses for funding allows the school to send home backpacks of food each weekend to 16 needy families. We have also started a full breakfast program each morning, ensuring that all students start the day with full stomachs.
NACWIC Senior High School.
The Best Buddies program skyrocketed this year with many new peer mentors and events. Time and affection invested is very much appreciated, and the smiles on faces makes it worthwhile. Brianna Jack, a high school student and founder of Maine Books for Maine Kids and Brianna's Bookworms, will be attending We Believe event in St. John on May 17th. The nonprofit organization has donated over 8,000 books and held 150 storytime events in the United States and Canada in support of improvements in childhood literacy.
Priestman Street Elementary School. There's been a teacher iPad initiative. The school is using iPads to enhance formative assessment practices as well as to promote lead teacher leadership. Staff are providing professional learning on how to use different apps in the classroom related to formative assessment.
Nashua Valley School. The Bear's Den has been established as a calming space for students to use to enhance their social and emotional learning. They most recently named the bear as their mascot, so the Bear's Den is an appropriate name for that room. The school has also created a K-5 common literacy assessment tool for all teachers to use to ensure consistency in assessment and in instruction. The next one's Sean's.
Can you read it?
Sure.
Nashwauksis Middle School. The Dragon's Den, a work completion room, is a space where all students can go for quiet time to catch up on work or write an assignment. The room is supervised by an ESS member and a one-to-one ratio is often provided. The room also becomes a rest space during noon hour for any student who requires a safe and quiet reset. Grade 8 students are also using iPads with external keyboards for writing. Students who barely put pen to paper are writing paragraphs.
Assiniboine Avenue School. The school was awarded a Universal Design for Learning, UDL grant, to promote inquiry-based learning. The team is working on an action research project with the support of community members, UNB, and Brilliant Labs. Over the next 2 years, we hope to support teachers in inquiry-based learning projects to impact student engagement at our school. February was certainly the month of caring. School staff and students collected and donated 72 boxes of cereal for our local food bank. This will certainly be appreciated by so many people. Hubbard Avenue School, in recognition of Family Literacy Day, we had a whole school assembly where we Skyped with Canadian author Sherry Fitch. Over 30 guests from our community joined us to share their love of reading with our students. To celebrate and acknowledge the Olympics, we borrowed Paralympic sports equipment from Ability New Brunswick. Our students had the opportunity to experience 6 different Paralympic sports.
The next one is Jane's.
Sure. Barker's Point School.
And her voice.
For me.
Talk like Jane.
Sorry. As part of a nutritional pilot project, grade 3 students are learning about how to create a healthy school food environment by exploring the full cycle from planting, growing, harvesting, and preparing vegetables. Student leaders at the school also work one-on-one with younger students on social skills like turn-taking and positive peer interaction, as well as homework and pre-reading skills. Students have formed a special bond and look forward to the time together.
Thank you. I have one to add to that, and that's that I was at a meeting sometime this last month and was trying to explain to someone our Shelfie Talk. So they went on Googled it and found on Twitter and said we were in a meeting, so they weren't supposed to be talking, but they were saying, so that's a good response to our Shelfie Talks, and that will be, of course, our presentation at the symposium. I use the word our as, you know, the queen would. Have you moved because we're on to you? Yes, Devon Middle School. It's all yours, Sean. We do have members here of the staff from the district, so I'm going to ask the superintendent to introduce them. usually I forget this until the very end. So I would thank you all for attending tonight. And
Sean Tracy is back again, so director of DFA, Finance and Administration. Thank you. Jay Colpitz, who you've met numerous times, director of schools for the Woodstock Education Center. We have Shelley McLeod, who is our acting director of human resources, and she's here supporting our another DEC report tonight on staff treatment. And we have Judy Cole, who's our director of communications.
Thank you.
Okay, so I found a plan, and this is at Devon Middle School. And what it is the city of Fredericton has made a request through the Department of Education, who in turn sent it to me and to the council, because what they want to do is they want to move the existing sewer line, which goes across the sports field at Devon Middle, and they want to move it closer to Dobie Street. So you'll see in the middle of that diagram, there's something that says exist 4500 STTC. That's the existing line. And they're asking us for an easement to move it to this, where it says proposed MSC line. So that's where it's going to move to. So closer to the street. And what they require from the council is a motion to approve the easement of the sewer line at Devon Middle School. I know it sounds funny when you say easement and sewer line in the same sentence, but that's what it is.
Do you have any indication when they would do this?
They would do that this summer.
Okay. And it's the city, and it's their sports field in the summer, right? They make use of it as a sport, so it will be, they would be... yeah, they would know, or they would be the ones to complain to themselves if they're working.
Correct.
Okay.
It's there, and they're going to return the field to its previous condition. What it's in now, it would be returned to that.
Better?
Well, you would think that section would be better, at least.
Yes, Mark.
Madam Chair, first of all, I want to say I wouldn't want to be part of any blockage when it comes to this. Just a question, is there a current easement for where it is existing?
I suspect there probably has been.
Okay.
It would be before District Education Council existed.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'd be in favor of the easement for the sewage.
I think Jane's house is right
you
across
can
the
say
road.
So.
So
much.
any further questions?
No.
Can I have a motion?
I would so move that the sewage line
and
be moved.
Do we grant an easement? Is that what we
yeah.
do? Okay. And could I have one seconder? Because we don't want this one to go down in history with your comments. Terry?
Yes.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify with aye.
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 Contrary minded, nay. Motion is carried. Thank you. Well, someday I want to see a job description for your job. One would be that you follow the deck everywhere we go and you bring things like
easements.
Toilet trees.
Promotions and movements. I know I can't help it.
They're not always funny, are
no,
they?
No, it's not always funny. This one's funny, though.
Yeah. So we're on to
our DEC report on staff treatment. And I'm going to ask Shelley to jump in when she feels it's necessary. Or if you have specific questions, Shelley's here to help answer them for you. So this DEC policy calls for the superintendent to ensure that our staff and volunteers are treated fairly and with respect. So for this school year, we have placed an emphasis on professionalism, and the expectation that has been shared with our staff members is that you treat those you encounter in your daily work with respect, regardless of who's in front of you. So it could be a community member, a student, a colleague, Professionalism is the name of the game. So to emphasize this, we've sent out a pamphlet, which is one of the attachments for this policy, and ask that all staff members review policy ASDW 250-16, which is professional conduct. Again, it's a reminder for them of what our expectation is around professionalism. We've implemented an online training, which you can see. There's a link on our website for that online training around professionalism and our expectations. And we've also done some on-site training for new and existing employees. There are formal processes in place for staff to express concerns, and this is our policy ASDW 250-13, employee concerns. We request casuals and new employees to sign off acknowledging review of our professional conduct policy. And as always, we continue to invest in our employees by providing learning opportunities. We do many book studies, half-day PL, full-day PLs, and we also support conferences. Any highlights you want to add, Shelley?
I just would like to say how much I feel that the promotion of professionalism and performance review and that type of activity among all the employee groups has gone a long way for developing teams, team spirit, and for making sure that that people are being heard and that there are fewer types of complaints than what we received in the district this year as a result of pushing that professionalism at their front and center.
Mark?
We had a policy last month under the new format. This is not exactly transitioned yet.
Correct.
Okay.
So this is an executive limitations policy.
Yeah.
So once those are reviewed,
right,
then we'll move to the new format.
Yeah. Okay.
And does that address the issue of past practice of DEC members reviewing hiring? Is that where that falls? Or is that a different policy?
It's not that one.
Okay. Because when we come to that, I need to ask that policy committee just remove that. I believe we've been operating inappropriately in having DEC members review, in order to review hiring policies, in order to review hiring practices, we have to review resumes and things like that. And I believe that that shouldn't happen anymore. So we'll, since we have 1, 2, 3 members of the policy committee here, maybe you can remember that.
Yeah, and I think it's in our notes with Stacy that Sean has
okay.
My...
Yeah.
So.
I should know, Stacy's always like at least 2 feet ahead of me thinking.
Yep.
Okay. Any further questions for...
About this policy?
Yes.
Okay. I have a question pertaining to the bullet that formally tracks the number of grievances, policy 701, workplace harassment, human rights, and other formalized complaints or collective agreement disciplinary situations. It says, whereas this is sensitive information pertaining to personnel issues, the cases have not been quantified formally in this report. So my question is, I believe that those numbers can be quantified without endangering anybody's sensitive information or any identifying any personnel. So I am looking for some numbers that would just indicate where we're at as a district, and I realize there are all sorts of different types. For 701, for example, there can be so many different types. But I just think in terms of us sitting here, you know, we're talking 6 grievances, 2701, what are we talking? So that was my question.
So when we get to a new format for this particular DEC policy, we will go into interpretation. And the interpretation that I see right at this moment is around providing a process for individuals to bring forward issues to ensure that they are treated fairly. And that it may be one of the reasons why numbers were not necessarily provided, because it is to provide a venue for that type of concern. Most of the concerns that come forward are either not related to the employer, but maybe with colleagues. But I can tell you around your question, that for tracking purposes, we have grievances, policy, work harassment, human rights, and a number of other right to refuse, that type of concerns. For 2016, 2017, a total of 73 complaints came our way, so that includes all type of complaints. For 2017-18, up until the end of February, we've had 37 in total. Now, we have 3 months to go.
So you can't or you don't wish to break them, as they are listed here as separate items. So is that possible to list them as separate items?
Some of them are, the numbers are so low.
And that'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be great too.
I'd rather not bring them if the numbers are so low, just because of identification or...
I see what you mean. Yeah. Okay.
Because if we only have one in one area, and somebody...
Mm-hmm. And I do not wish to have any area identified, any job position, mm-hmm. nothing like that. I just... And my whole thought is down the road when we look at the status of the district and how things are going, or even... and I know professional development or PL mm-hmm. is your jurisdiction, but there might be an area that you as a superintendent, because of certain types of complaints or concerns, you mm-hmm. may say, we need more PL in this particular area. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I'm just kind of putting all the pieces together, and I do not want to have anybody identified.
Yeah.
Actually, I thought from your numbers, they're lower than I anticipated.
Really?
Yeah,
that's
why
a good thing.
But
I agree with you. When we start digging into our new reporting form for this particular policy, once the committee has reviewed it, it'll be exactly what you're talking about. What is the intention of the policy, how we are interpreted, and what evidence am I going to show you? So we'll dig into what does it look like and what do we have at our disposal to make sure that we have the right policy in place to address concerns.
Yes, because that would, sorry, Madam Chair, that would, you know, when we talk about, and it's you or anybody else sitting in that mm-hmm. seat, this is not what I'm looking at, have good relationships with union leaders, and often work proactively. So in that interpretation, if we were looking at how do you demonstrate that, so that might be something that the policy committee can be looking at for further down the road, just in terms of what that looks like. I have no idea, so I look at Mark, because who else is on policy? Okay.
I could discuss this all night. So.
And that's fine. I think it's more, I'm pleased with what you said, and I think that brings out, when we look at rewriting policies, that type of thing. So I think that's great. Thank you.
Okay. And if there's anything in particular that you want our policy committee to keep in mind as they're looking at that, then you can...
I think Stacy will probably bring to mind exactly what is the intention of that policy.
Yeah. All right. Madam Chair, just to add, I've always felt this policy has been reported on for several years I've been here, that, you know, it's almost like there's a report for public, there's a report for private, because it is personnel, and in some cases there's there's a report for the chair, because, you know, again, it's about containing information, but making sure that our employee is doing a great job, which I think they are. But, you know, data, we can only release certain data because of the privacy, right? So, you know, to find a way to release that as evidence of, you know, what I think is a job well done, personally. But
that's my job, Peter.
Right. I think I said that on the radio. That's what we hired the superintendent for. That and to keep track of my agenda. Everyone all right with that then? Are you ready to move on to the most exciting thing? I hope you have questions, because Sean's not here and somebody has to ask questions. The other Sean isn't here. All right.
So up on the screen is a breakdown, what we would call our fourth quarter report. This year in our financial planning with education, they did not require us to submit a fourth quarter formal report. So our practice of reporting to council is that we do provide a fourth quarter report. So I had Terry assemble some data on where we were comparatively with the third quarter. So right now we're forecasting, I would say, by the look of the numbers, it says zero, but it's really about $8,000 surplus. So we're still in the zero to, you know, $8,000 plus surplus, which on almost $225 million is a pretty close reporting. The problem areas that we had talked about at the third quarter are the same. It's replacement costs of employees, as well as overages in the educational assistant allocation in our budget. Also, with increased costs in heating fuel and in natural gas costs, as well as the fuel costs associated with our bus fleet, and corresponding overages in benefits because of the number of casuals being engaged for replacement. They come with benefit requirements that are, of course, we're funded to a certain level, but not funded at the level that we had to replace. So overall, we were able to balance the budget as a whole. Year end is basically, you know, March the 20th. Today was the last day of business, really, for our fiscal year. So my staff over the next few weeks will be going through the year end process. And usually in the June meeting, I provide where we landed, like what our final budget was for 17-18, and that's when you'll see the new budget for 18-19 will be in June. So the only other thing that I would mention at this particular report is that we did receive correspondence on the approval of the changes to the regulations for school district surpluses. So now in a district our size, if you have more than $200 million in your budget, you can carry a surplus of $500,000 as opposed to what the regulation was previously, which was $100,000. So it gives us more flexibility to, you know, so if we do have a surplus in a year, you know, we don't have to near that $100,000, or we don't have to turn that money back to general operating fund at the end of the year either. So overall, it's a positive change, and been a long time coming. So that's the report that I have for you tonight, and there's no requirement for approval. So if you have any questions, I can answer them.
Mark.
two things, Madam Chair, of course. Thank you for a great report, and see here with the budget and expenses, you know, there's a lot of red, if you will, but yet we still balance. How's that?
Well, we take advantage of surpluses, you know, throughout the budget, right? We've been, these positives have been positive since the beginning of the budget cycle, right? So we have certain areas of the budget that we don't spend because we know we're going to be short in replacement. We know we're going to be over in EAs, and we know that we have only received maybe a 2% increase for electricity and for oil and for natural gas, so we have to not spend other money so we can cover our complete complement. So you can see here a lot of the surpluses here were, you know, under instruction, under school management support program areas.
What the school psychologists, what budget that fall under?
They are under the education and support services, part of them, and then the other part of them is under the school management support.
Well, I would just like to add, Madam Chair, along with the news report, as I've said for numerous years, that the department needs to hire psychologists, not just have a position with a salary. That does not mean they're committed to hiring a psychologist. We need psychologists in our system. They need to find out what it takes to hire a psychologist. It's of no value to create a position and a pay band if it doesn't work. This has been an ongoing problem, and it's just unfortunate that, you know, they allow whatever, an arbitrary number, static, whoever sets it. There's a hole in our system. So. Good budget.
Thank you. So you've made a statement. Is that as far as you want to go with that?
For now.
Something for us to keep in mind. Does anyone else have questions? I, you know, I look at that and say, oh, so somehow we squeezed $2.5 million out of instruction to cover our deficits. Like, that's what it looks like to me, which I'm glad that we could do that, but what does that mean, and where are we hurting because of that? And that's because we're not covered sufficiently in those areas. We don't have enough, we aren't covered for enough EAs in this district. And, you know, we aren't covered for the fuel that it takes to keep the buildings open and the buses on the road. So does that come out of, it's not chalk anymore, showing my age, but does that come out of markers for whiteboards and
libraries.
Libraries. So those are things that for us to keep in mind when we look at the bigger picture, when we see the bigger picture and say, yeah, do we need to do some lobbying? This is our business. We need to keep this district operating the way it should. Financial, you know, and it's I can't imagine having a budget of that nature and having it come out to $8,000. If you could see my bank account, you would know that. I can't imagine that. So it's an amazing job, but this is a concern, and it's a concern that our staff has to do that in order for us to come out even. Yes, Terry.
Could part of that be the psychologists and things that we don't have that we're not paying, and
there are surpluses in there for unfilled positions, not just psychologists.
Okay,
but
yeah, just using that as an example.
Yes.
Just one transportation, I guess, is what do we normally save on a school cancellation day, bus costs?
Well, the department actually factors into our budget the number of school days lost. So any savings that we would have is already removed when we get our budget.
Have we had enough this year?
Yes. Yeah.
We're just saying maybe we need more.
It depends on where you live.
In the old days, the answer to that would have been in the district I came from, would have been $6,000, you know, just in transportation costs alone. You know, and probably more like about 35 or 40 now. But it's already calculated in the budget upfront because they've had enough history to be able to
show how many days districts have, so they just factor it out.
And we've also had an increase to the cost of PL days, being half days this year.
We haven't had an increase. They haven't saved money.
Right.
Well, that's, yeah, that's what I mean. Because it used to be a full day, right?
Yeah.
So buses do that.
That's been the first comment I've heard from PSSCs is, well, they're not saving any money. No. But we're in the business of getting kids in school, and we're partly in the business of having our teachers prepared. So, yes, Heather.
One thing that I heard Sean mention tonight a couple of times, and every time we have one of these, is the replacement costs of staff, and that it's more than budgeted. And I question, and I understand that, but I question, obviously we're under a new attendance management system in the province. I don't know where that comes in, if that is having any success, but I wonder, and this is not, Sean, you can answer this or not, whether every district finds the same thing, but to me, that's a lot of money in replacement costs, and so, you know, the question would be, why is that happening? What's going on? We have this new, I don't know how much the attendance management costs the province, but that's a lot of money. And when you start having a lot of people being replaced, then that can affect the, you know, bottom line. It affects the kids, it affects the school, and all that stuff. So you've mentioned that probably every time you've given a report is replacement costs.
Yeah, for years.
Yeah.
It's a trend, like where they will fund us based on a certain number of days per employee group. But any one given year, depending on, you know, the flu bug, you know, sickness, what's going on, you could have much higher amounts of sickness, and then you have to replace teachers, right? And other employee groups that have to be there in the school. So it causes our replacement cost to go up, and it is, if I was to talk, colleagues that do this work, they have the exact same concern over being underfunded and over the costs and benefits for the replacements.
Any other questions? Comments? Okay. So, capital improvement.
So, basically tonight, it's just I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about process. So, over the next few council meetings in April and again in May, the capital improvement and the major capital discussions and prioritization will happen. I've met with my staff on the capital improvement plan, which is the big long list of deferred maintenance for each of our schools, and we have to try to prioritize the top $4 million worth of projects to see, you know, what we can bring forward for the summer of 2019-20. So I will show you that in April. You'll see where the list currently sits. I have an opportunity to review it and ask questions. In May, really the only part of that it's a decision on that you approve the capital list as submitted. Then in the major capital world, we have to look at what we had on our list last year. So like in May of 2017, I sent a letter on behalf of the district to Andre Paulin, that's the Director of Facilities and Transportation at Education, with our district's major capital priorities. So last year it was, our number one was Leo Hayes High School, Shop and Skills Trade Addition Renovation. The number two was New School in Hanwell. The number three was the Ormuckto High School Midlife Upgrade. followed by the Woodstock High School midlife upgrade, the Carl North High School midlife upgrade, a replacement school for Forest Hill and Liverpool Elementary, a replacement school for Devon Middle, and a replacement school for George Street Middle School. We also provided them three options for facility studies that council recommended to be done. One of those is the Town of Vermucto study, K-8 schools, the Vermucto school study, and the Carlton North Drawing Area study. Now, we know that this year that we have, we've reviewed the Vermucto High School specifications, and they were approved by council at the last meeting, so that project was approved and is moving forward, and you know, there's a year of design this coming year, but then there'll be construction in summer of 2019 for Vermucto High School midlife. The Woodstock High School and Carlton North midlife upgrades, I'll have some information to share with you in April on those studies that are being conducted. We also presented to council on the Northside Elementary School study. So in there were recommendations for closure of two schools, building one, and also a new school in the Killarney Lake area, elementary school K-5. And we've been working with Ernst & Young on the Town of Vermucto study on the schools in Vermucto. And they are actively working on that report. Actually met with them today, and we'll be bringing that report to council in April for you to review. And so all of these things will be put into the middle of decision making to create you know, a very large capital priority list. There'll be more than 8 things on our list, so we'll have to decide where they are, but it's a good thing in a lot of ways, because it gives lots of lead time to education to score our projects and see that we really do have a need for new capital construction in our districts with the pressures that we have in the Fredericton area and in the Vermucto area on our school facilities. So as part, also the other thing that we'll do is we'll talk about future feasibility studies, so the facility studies that we listed last year. There is money in the budget at education this year for more studies, so we'll have an opportunity to add additional studies. So we'll talk about what our suggestions are for those for you to consider. And basically the major capital list that we submit has to be done by May 31st, 2018. So I'll send another letter to the department following the approval of council by the end of May. As well as we also have our infrastructure database. I know last year we had a very large presentation that Philip and I presented. We're going to be doing a little bit different this year. There will be a 19 slide deck. You will have access to the reports on schools. We'll show you some samples of what they look like. We'll talk about the process of the information that we collect, but we won't show it to the same level of detail that we showed last year. But if you want that, I certainly can do that. But I'm working on the basis of how we've been working this year. So that'll be the infrastructure plan. We still have to provide it to the department, so it's, you know, a gazillion emails that I have to send because the files are so big to Josh. I'm hoping that they get some kind of a system where we can just put the info in and then they can just go get it out without us having to do all this busy work in between, but we're not quite there yet. So aside from that, you know, we have some projects that are going to be happening in our district this summer. So our facility staff has been working with ETI, and they're going to be starting their startup meetings and preparatory meetings for those projects this summer. A number of portables that will be going in around the district again this year. I've been joking a little bit with the facilities department, saying, you know, we have a sizable amount of infrastructure on our major capital list, and you know, we have a lot of portables, and we're at the point now in some properties where we're going to have to figure out how to stack these things. So we certainly need some movement on our list in Anglophone West. So I don't know if you have any questions about the process, but that's all I have for you tonight on this. I will be back for the working session in April, as well as the next three public meetings with you, so you'll get used to seeing me a little bit more.
We wouldn't miss you. I mean, we...
If you're going to come,
we won't miss you, no. We would miss you, is what I'm trying to say, if you weren't here, because you're just a part of us.
Yep.
Yes. I know Mark has a question.
Two real quick ones. Will they be sending us a list of trigger schools?
That was the superintendent and I were just commenting that neither one of us have seen a list.
I haven't asked. I talked to my colleagues about it, and like the memo that we received on the major capital process, I'm pretty sure last year that there was something else that came along with it at the time, and it wasn't there, so I haven't received anything yet.
I'll have to double check, unless you guys know, but I believe it's a provincial policy. Without it, they'll be in violation of their own policy. But if it's not in there, I can't remember for sure. The other question...
You would remember, because you would have been chair when that would have been brought in.
Yes.
So
I'll have to check the wording to make sure they have an out or don't have an out, but I'll be reminded.
Yeah.
The other thing is, so... is our multi-year infrastructure binder up to date, and is it on the portal?
It's last year's is. Mm-hmm. This year's is being worked on, right? So they're actively working on updating the information, right? So part of the information requires year end to be completed,
right?
Because we put in this year's.
So the data we have, because coming into, you know, deciding on capital projects or. You know, there's the data, that data.
You have the data that you need to,
yeah.
You will have for the decision-making,
right.
For the infrastructure database. Like we have the functional capacity information.
Right.
We have all that,
yeah.
Right? I had that in January, in January's report.
Yeah.
So we have that up to date. It's mainly just doing that school-by-school analysis that Angus and his group have to complete. Done before May 31st, and well, I told them that I'll need a few examples to be able to provide it to council, so you know what is going forward, so you know what you're approving.
Right.
And then we'll make sure that you have access to, you know, the schools, so you'll be able to see each one of your schools.
Madam Chair, just and maybe Sean could speak to the value of this idea, along with any other council member that wishes, but. This quadruple bottom line, the gentleman that Sean had mentioned that's responsible for that, it would be cool to have him here in an April working session to, you know, ask questions and this mysterious scientific, machine, yeah, you know. You know, we're going into, and the lists are getting lengthier and different things, and we have some capital construction projects that it'd be interesting to see.
Any comments, Sean?
Well, it would be now. See, before it was Tony Weber, so now it's Andre Paulin. It would just be a request of the superintendent that asked for if he was available. It's not anything that I can, you know, I've seen a presentation on it, just like you guys have seen a presentation on it. We're no longer privy to the scoring on them at our level, so it's a tool that's used by them to prioritize our project. We just know the gamut that they look at, but we don't know how an individual project scores.
And it used to be that we were told they didn't want our decisions to be tainted by their numbers or But I think that we're past that. You know, we've gone too many years without having what we want done. Maybe it is time for us to say, what's the most likely of us?
Well, and that machine seems to be driving the system, so yeah. I guess I'd like to meet the driver, if you know what I'm saying. I'm wondering if there's any value in having a formal invitation from the council to meet with the DAC, and we have two working sessions between now and our final decision. I mean, if the DAC wants that, I would want it.
And you want a presentation on the tool itself? Or what question would you like him to answer for you?
So I think I would word it, and I would like it to be a letter from the chair that he comes and has a brief information on the quadruple bottom line and an opportunity for us to ask questions on how the department works when it comes to capital construction, it's mostly capital construction.
So you want to write the letter, I'll sign it. Did you hear me say that?
No.
I think that's a good idea. I think I will write that letter or get some help writing that letter. Yeah. There are so many things for us to consider, and saying for the last how many years it's been, we're sticking to the one that we thought was our top priority because we want it by Georgian, and it's going to be our priority until you give it to us, may not be the most efficient way to get what we need for the district. There's no doubt. And I don't know how you convince anyone that a burgeoning, is that the right word? Population? Exploding population in Fredericton. You know, we can't ship students to St. John where they're losing numbers. We only have one school in Fredericton that's underpopulated, and we have schools that need to be replaced. And the two that were on our list last year aren't even of the ones that we've been talking about needing to do something with based on the studies. So, and of course, along with this conversation goes, what do we do about studies? Because if we want to convince that we need new schools, and we need two new schools on the north side, then we have to do some sustainability studies and say there are two schools that need to be replaced or don't need to be replaced or whatever our decisions are. So we have some decisions to make around sustainability studies. And along with that, I want to say that schools that have been traditionally on that trigger list that have not changed in their numbers so that they wouldn't be on a trigger list again, the communities around those schools and the staff at those schools are constantly thinking about, will we be on that trigger list again, and what does that mean? So little Doketown Elementary School will never have 100 students, and we have chosen not to study them the last couple of years, partly because of where they're located, partly because of the long travel distance students would have to travel, partly because of some kind of long, long ago promise that the elementary schools would not be combined or not be moved to one community or another. So Doketown, Boystown, the same thing. People from Nakowick have said to me, it causes anxiety just to talk trigger, even without a trigger list. And I wish that we could say to those schools, we've got so much else on our plate that we're not ever going to study you, not in the next, unless someone takes us to court and forces us to. I think that's, I was asked by a principal, Are you going to study us? Can we be closed? Because I want to get new playground equipment, but I don't want to ask the town to help us out with that playground equipment if we're going to be closed next year. So there is a fear attached to whether that list even comes out or doesn't come out. I wish that we had some way of providing some assurance that we've got some big fish to fry and that maybe Nakowick Middle School doesn't have to worry for at least a couple of years till we see whether their population grows or not. So that's just my spiel.
But I think the flip side of that is if we do go through all of that process and we know we're pretty sure nothing's going to happen, then that's taking time from this group that should be directed somewhere else too. So, I just wonder why we have this priority list if it is just a decision that comes. So that I know there's only a pocket of money. I get that, but at some point, if the priority number one priority doesn't change, at some point, you would think that it would make it.
You would.
Enough said.
So maybe those are the things that Andre, is that his name?
Andre
Poulin will be able to shed some light on if we have him here. So, again, in Mark's and in Sean's comments, remember the way we're doing things is that the information will be there for you. It won't be presented in full form in a meeting. You will be expected to do your homework and to look at, if nothing else, the top 9, 10 on that list, plus the 4 in the Fredericton area. It's your homework that has to be done to be prepared to make decisions on sustainability studies and our nature capital list. Hand up, somebody.
I just had one question I wanted to ask. Sean maybe can't answer, but our number one priority, Leo Hayes, is that ever going to be owned by the province, or is it? Because I'm wondering if where it's a lease project that we're never going to get money for, something's not owned by us.
So they went through, they did a study on basically on what they should do with Leo Hayes, whether they should let it go, build a new one, continue the lease, and it was done by the controller's office, so by finance, and basically the recommendation out of that was to continue the lease. So at some point in the future, there will be renegotiation between education and Scotia Learning on renewing the lease. I think we're probably at least a year away from them having to start the conversation for that. So, but there was nothing in that document around the options that had our number one priority in it. It was outside of that. But.
Thank you.
So that doesn't say we're not getting it.
Oh, no, I just, because I knew that there was conversation going on.
Yeah. Yep, good, thank you. Any other questions? You will have many, many, many more in the next 4 meetings, I'm sure. Or maybe you'll come all prepared with your decisions already made. Remember that I need you for just 60 seconds after this, well, maybe 120 seconds after this meeting. Committee, the Student Voice Committee, I did send out another email. I think we had Terry and Wallace interested. I'm going to get them to talk to the superintendent about getting together with some district staff and deciding on a possible strategy before the end of this year, maybe one
focus group.
Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
And if you need a third person on the committee, I would sit on it. I just didn't want to
rain on our parade.
Yeah.
But he's finishing.
Cry at your party, I was going to say, but
I may be able to sit on it.
Okay.
If you wanted someone else.
Okay. So what we'll do is get them to arrange a meeting, send out a time, and then if you or I can show up, then we will do that.
You know, Terry and I don't always agree, so.
We would.
Well, I'm always right.
April 12th, that was changed, right?
Yeah, okay.
I got it written down.
And I believe the policy committee will have something in our April working meeting.
That's what we're all doing.
Public. No comments?
No comments.
Well, she's really technically public.
Where's our
our groupie? I don't know. This
he
is good, isn't it?
He didn't get chosen for the symposium. I think he's upset.
That's conspiracy.
Was his name in the list? Either. We did have one person turned down already, and the first person on the waiting list was moved into that slot. So if you're talking to people and they want to know, you know, what are the chances of them getting in, then certainly still possible. And our next meeting is April the 12th. Right? Yes, we've moved that date to April the 12th. Make sure you don't come on April the 5th. Well, you can, but nobody will be there. And that's in here. So Marion will be here.
Should be.
Okay. And could I have a motion for adjournment?
I saw more than the
19th.
We can only have one.
She got me.
Okay. All right, so just hang in for a few minutes. We'll get
these weren't made for short.